Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
I'm Phil Crazy. Well, I'm an alcoholic and addict. Me extra tatanka week or kakia sikangu lakota yate hemi yellow. Okay, hemi papa. Okay, heyoka he only one. Okay, ikte wikasha. My name is Phil Full Blood Lakota from Roseville, South Dakota. I just said in my language that I am Lakota, and that's where I'm from. I'm from Roseville, South Dakota. But I've been transplanted to Albuquerque because of a need to work. I'm also a licensed substance abuse counselor and a coordinator for the substance abuse program for 7 tribes in the state of New Mexico. I came here today with a good heart and good mind, and I want to welcome all you relatives here today like this today. We have a very spiritual purification at this time. A little rain came down, so we're all going to stay here for the duration of the night now. Looks that way. And so, but I want to begin by saying that, you know, that as an alcoholic, I grew up on a reservation in Rosewood, South Dakota. I went to Catholic boarding school, and I went to the Bureau of Indian Affairs boarding school. But my first experience with alcohol was at the church. I was an altar boy, and I got into the priest's wine because I wanted to see what it tasted like. And at that time, when I was a young boy, prior to that, at the age of 2 years old, I lost my mother and father. I lost them to an alcoholic-related accident, which they both died. And so I was raised from family to family to family, and as a result became a product of the Bureau of Indian Affairs Social Services Program. And as a result, I carried a lot of rage in my life, a lot of hate, a lot of anger. And especially, my thinking wasn't the way it should have been, as an imbalance. I grew up traditionally. I grew up knowing all the ceremonies, knowing about all the herbs, knowing about everything that had to be productive in life, but I ran from it. Because I didn't want that. Because I had so much rage in my life as a young man that I didn't even want to believe in God. I didn't want to believe there was a higher power. Because I felt that as I was growing up, I lost 13 brothers and sisters. I lost my grandma and grandpa on my mother's side and on my father's side. And I lost my mom and dad. And so I blamed this all on God for taking everything away from me and leaving me out here all alone. And so I started the process of understanding how I could relieve my pain. And my pain and my rage was through alcohol and drugs. And I led a life like that for quite some time, till about 21 years ago when I started my sobriety. A very short time ago. I've seen over 50 winters now. And so it's been a while. At that time, I was very, very crazed. You know how alcohol can become masters of your life. And it became a master for me because I lived it every day. I lived it to the point where I decided that that's how I was going to die too. My parents had died from it. My brothers and sisters had died from it. And so I said, well, I'm going to die from that too. And one day, 21 years ago, I had a spiritual experience. I had known about the sweat lodge. I had known about all what took place in there. But I played very dumb. I played it because I was in denial. I was in denial about my problem. I was in denial about my spirituality. And as a result, I went into a ceremony pretending that I didn't know anything. And it was at that time that I had a spiritual experience. And I had met my ancestors. My ancestors stopped time for me in the lodge. And to this day, that's why I believe in the spirits of our ancestors, in the spirits of the Rock Nation, in the spirits of Mother Earth, and the Creator, how He can make things different in your life. I know that I had a lot of things to work on. I had a lot of rage. I had a lot of disrespect for women. And I have 7 children. But these 7 children were from 7 different women. Because I didn't know anything about respecting women. And because I had been grown up in a boarding school, had been parented by, men. Men who never showed us or demonstrated to us in my lifetime about what it was to how to respect women. And so it took some time for me to go back to my reservation and learn about that. It took 4 years of celibacy, and I learned in my first year of taking how to take care of babies. And let me tell you, that is something some chore to do. I've learned some lessons from that. Plus, I stored it in my memory bank because now I'm married and I have a little boy. He's 11 months old. He's half Japanese. My wife is Japanese. He's half Japanese and half Lakota. And so I've learned a lot about that, about how to care for little girls, little boys, babies from the ages of newborn all the way up to about almost 2 years old. So that was a chore, the lesson I learned for a whole year. The second year, they had me take care of teenagers. And that's another job. Many of you know that. Those teenage years are something that is a lesson in all of us that we learn. We learn about boundaries. We learn about anger. We learn about manipulation. And we learn how to lie. We learn how to cheat. And so through all that misery that I had to go through and learning about that was that I had to learn these from young ladies and learning these things and learning about how to deal with those kind of emotional problems, behavioral problems, and learning and teaching them about the herbs, teaching them about different aspects of the Lakota culture, teaching the language, teaching how to set up a teepee, how to make a fire, all the basic things that you learn that you take for granted. And so, you know, sometimes, today our young people, we ask them, go build a fire. You got any gas? Got any kerosene? You know. And so, learning to do that is also something that, you know, that all of us think we know how to do until we're challenged with it. And then also, I have to take care of my third year. To take care of divorced and single mothers. And that was another hard job because I was also faced with social problems. So some of them were alcoholics, some were drug abusers. And learning how to cope with that, learning how not to get mad, learning how to understand patience, and learning that was very hard for me. But it was a lesson in itself that I've learned about learning how to respect women. And in my last year, my fourth year, I had to take care of elderly. And that is even harder than taking care of the all three prior, let me tell you. Because I had many, 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 many jobs to do that the elderly are kind of time-orientated. You know, the sun's up over here and you're not here. What happened to you? You know, well, I was helping over here. Well, you're supposed to be here. You know, so I had a lot of, you know, understanding of learning how to run one place, go hunting for them, go chop wood, and go paint houses, and fix roofs, fix porches, fix the electricity system, bang on the refrigerator, make it work. You know, so a lot of, you know, things like that I had to learn. And so to this day I'm very grateful for that. And after I had finished that, I had asked about what I should do with my life. What am I going to do with my life now after I've learned these lessons? And the elders of our community, the Gray Eagle society told me that I needed to go on a hambalecha. A hambalecha is a vision quest, a 4-day ceremony that you go for 4 days without food or water, and to go up as pitiful as you can with just one blanket and a sacred pipe. And as I went on this here hambalecha, I learned something very valuable in my life about my spirituality. I learned that through this ceremony that I could learn how to die. And from learning how to die, I learned that we as human beings can be reborn again. We can change our life. We can change our behavior. We can change our attitude. And learning to die meant that I could cross over into the spirit world and see the beauty on that side, and also see the beauty on our side. And learning this came the decision from our medicine men that I too one day would take up the altar to be a medicine man. And so today I have achieved that, to be a medicine man among my people. And I was told at that time that as a result of losing everybody in your family, that you would gain new relatives, you would gain a new family. And so today, I come here like that today with a good heart, a good handshake to all of you, to realize that you are my relatives, that you are my family, that you are deep in my heart, deep in my prayer. For without you, we would not have this precious time of being together in order to think together, to pray together, to acknowledge one another, to be thankful for our lives, to be thankful for our sobriety. And so today I wanted to thank you like that today. So I just want to say that much to you on behalf of the Lakota people. Om Itakiase. Hold on, I just thought I was supposed to come up here and just say that, but I got more to say. I just thought it says, you know, share a little bit about your life and about a little bit how things are. But, I'm up here, so this time I wanted to say something about all of us. And that's all of us, you know, have good memories. We have good memories of those things that have happened to us, about how things used to be, about how we were when we were out there on the streets. I mean, I know many of you have experienced some of the things I have experienced. I've experienced homelessness. I've experienced loneliness, sadness. But through it all, if you really take a look at it, that's our own fault. That's our own fault for being homeless and sad and lonely. And the reason why is that because if you turn around and look around, you have family right beside you, behind you, in front of you. And people everywhere want to help you in a good way. And so I realized that, you know, that help comes when you are ready. Help comes and is acknowledged by someone who sees you trying to make a change in your life, who sees you trying to offer yourself to do something, some kind of good in your life. And as time goes on, you learn to take responsibility for yourself. You learn that there's something in life that each one of us has a gift. Maybe you're supposed to be an artist. Maybe you're supposed to be a doctor. Maybe you're supposed to be a plumber. Maybe you're supposed to be a mechanic. But all of these are valuable as human beings to whatever we do in life, because it contributes to one another so that our lives can be better. So knowing that, I just want to say that, you know, back in Rosebud, there was this here Lakota medicine man. And he was there, and a man came from one of the universities who was a researcher. And he was talking to some of the people. And some of the people said, that Lakota medicine man over there, he can remember everything. He's got a good memory. He said he can even remember what he ate years ago. So he went over there and asked him. He says, He says, I heard you have a good memory. He shook his head, yes, I do. He said, well, he said, what did you eat in the morning of December 2nd, 1976? Sausage and eggs and pancakes and coffee. Okay, I wouldn't remember that. He said, what about, and he says, what about in March? Around March 16th, 1989. Oh, that's easy. He says, I had soup and fry bread. And so, he says, why did you have that for breakfast? He says, because most of the time, we used to go out and hunt for goose eggs. And so, when we go out and hunt for goose eggs, he says, we usually eat, fry those up and cook those and have those to eat. And so, he says, well, he says, how do you like your eggs? And by that time, the ground really shook. And it was like an earthquake tremor. And everybody ran out and took off, and the researcher went away. And about a year later, the researcher came back and was looking at him and says, I remember that medicine man. I'm going to go talk to him and see if he remembers what he ate. So he walked over to him and he looked at him and he says, how? The Lakota medicine looked at him and said, scrambled. Anyway, you know, and that's kind of like a joke, because sometimes, you know, we have to have laughter in our life. Sometimes we have a lot of seriousness in our life. And that's good. But duality in our life is very constant. It's with us every moment of our life. Because duality is one of our Lakota teachings of duality. Likewise, there's man and woman, night and day. Hot and cold, love and hate. And so duality exists like that, and it's constant, even in our sleep. And so when we remember that duality is always constant, you have to remember one thing. That sometimes you can be angry, sometimes you could be sad, but you must always remember this, that you were not born that way. You were born innocent and with a good heart and a good mind. And you were born that way because Creator, first of all, put innocence and love within you. And from there, somewhere along the line, something happened. And it happens to everyone. But today, you're able to come back and to be able to share with one another just how you feel. That support is here. That love is here. And it exists. Likewise, there are relations out there who are still using and abusing, and still with that rage. And like we all say, you know, it's going to take them, their whole self, to realize that time has come, that they're going to have to make a change. And how this change comes about? Sometimes it comes about very tragically. Sometimes it comes about very spiritually. Sometimes it comes about because you are the ones that are doing the work of the Creator. That you are doing what you're supposed to do here. The Creator has not asked you to save the world. He asked you to help just one person in your lifetime. Be responsible for helping one person. When I had experienced death, when I went to the other side, I was allowed to ask one question, and that question was, as I stood there and act ready to ask my question, I was thinking, what do I do to help people? What do I do, what do I say to help people? And so, a voice came from out from out there and asked me, what do I seek? And I told him, I only seek wisdom. I only seek knowledge. I asked the Creator, how do we help people? He said, by everything that you have learned, by everything that you have known, it's through prayer. Pray and pray and pray, for your prayers are always heard, but always be careful for what you pray for. So, that's what I wanted to share with you about duality and about death, that it is something that it's all going to happen to each and every one of us, and we're all going to die someday, and we're all going to die, and that we need to leave a legacy. Each and every one of you have that responsibility to leave a legacy. We leave spirit, we leave wills, but we never think about leaving a spiritual will. And today, spirit people said, we have those words that we could use, that we could leave. So you could leave those words now today. You could leave them on a disc. Leave them in a vault. Leave them for your children, for those that are going to come 3 or 4 generations from now. One day, each and every one of you will be an elder, and you have to leave something. You don't want to leave something oral, you can. But if you leave something written, now you could leave spiritual wills. The spiritual wills are about the values of your life and how you value, how you grew out of your own traumas, so that we won't have generations of abusers, alcoholics, addicts, that we can leave this will for the future generations, for them to take a look at and say, this is what grandma left, this is what grandpa left. So one day you will all be there. You will all be at that time when you could do that. So one day you must think of writing a spiritual will so that you could leave something for the legacy for the generations to come. So I run out of words now, so that's all I wanted to share with you today. And thank you very much. Te lama hila.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.